Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Leaf Flag, the aftermatch podcast of the LFC Red Poets. I'm your host, Les Lawson, and I'm joined tonight by Tom Keegan, Pete Warburton, and Penn Kent Jr. as we look back on this afternoon's dramatic Leaf victory for Liverpool at the City Ground, Nottingham, when a late Darwin Núñez header gave Liverpool the 3 points, which were badly needed. So, boys, just before we start and talk about the game, Ben, last week we had the chat about the disallowed goal at Wembley, and Tom pointed out to you that it should never have been disallowed, and I agreed with him. So did Pete, but you said it should have been disallowed, and Tom said to you, you'll never see a goal disallowed like that again. And lo and behold, on Wednesday night, we see exactly the same incident with exactly the same referee, and the goal is allowed. So I'd like to hear your passion defence of your Tom was right. So I think you owe him an apology, to be honest.
No, I don't. Right, I don't even know, Les, I don't even know why we're talking about this. I know why, because you're trying to reel me in. You're like a fisherman throwing his rod out, trying to get a few bites. To be fair, what's happened there is the referee has obviously listened to this podcast, and he felt a bit sorry for Tom there. Yeah, and he thought, actually, maybe Tom has got a point. And to be fair, right, okay, I'm going to take a little step back here. And I have looked at it a few more times. He's given it because it was offside. But why he allowed that goal for Man United in the week, I've got no idea. And I've got no idea why that was allowed. So I can't defend him for that at all. No, you're probably right, Tom. But to be fair, I think ultimately we'd won the cup final, and I don't care now. It's done.
No, neither do I.
On that note, I'll take that you're probably right, Tom, as an apology. So
that's as good as you're getting, Tom. Sorry.
I don't care. I'll tell that.
That's as good as you'll get. So we'll just draw the line under it there and move on. So, Pete, just after 2 o'clock today, the team drops. And Núñez, Szoboszlai, and Endo are all on the bench. There's another star for Bobby Clark. And Joe Gomez is again pressed into play in the sixth position. So what were your views on the team?
I was glad to see a few of the injuries coming back. I like to see Szoboszlai, Núñez on the bench. And I was glad to see Bobby Clark get a start as well. I'm not entirely sure about Joe playing the number six. I thought maybe Conor Bradley might have played the six. But as the game, I mean, we'll speak about it later, but as the game went on, Joe played in about three or four positions. But a decent, strong side, considering the injuries we've still got. But as I say, it was good to see Alex Evendo, Núñez, Szoboszlai on the bench, Simakas. So some names there, and still a good smattering of the kids as well.
Tom, it was when you seen the team, my immediate thoughts were, at least we've got some options to come on the bench. So it's important that, you know, we can keep the game sort of level, or get, you know, at least one goal ahead, to give us the opportunity to possibly bring these lads on who could make a difference. But my big concern going into the game was that, you know, this was our third game in 6 days. You know, three really, you know, the emotion of last Sunday, you know, playing, you know, well over, you know, 2 hours with the extra time. And then again, you know, another game on Wednesday night. And again, you know, you know, the lads who come back had only basically had the Friday training session. So you're hoping, weren't you, that the lads who'd been picked to start had enough in the legs to get them through and get them over the line today?
Yeah, I was looking at the bench. You know, like, you were looking delighted that the four of them were back, you know, with Andy Robbo back and Endo back. Like we were saying on the other night when it was just me and you, when we having a chat, you know, I think you were looking and hoping that these lads would be back, but we wondered how much. I didn't think any of them would start, did you? If we're really honest, I didn't think any of them would start. I thought they'd all be on the bench, and was hoping we'd get something from them, you know, like, and You know, like, and I think that's what I, like you, was the same. I was thinking, you know, like, so the likes of Bobby Clark, and they're only young kids at the end of the day. Even Conor Bradley, you know, Les, to a certain extent, you know, he's playing a lot of games in a short space of time. And you know what? You get through on adrenaline and everything else. But as you said, I was worried. I was a bit worried also about Joe in the six. Although I thought he did all right against Southampton, I thought, well, you know, against Nottingham Forest, the Premier team, and you're not used to that position, I think I was a bit worried about him in that six. But I will talk about the performance in a bit, like, but yeah, I was just delighted to see the big names back, and hopefully we can add Salah in the next game, hopefully, to the bench.
And it was one of them, wasn't it, where you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, we've got over the line at Wembley with we're having to use the kids. We've had to use them again, you know, in the FA Cup at home to Southampton. And, you know, with the help of the home crowd and the, you know, you've got a, you know, probably a 60-40 split at Wembley in terms of Liverpool fans who give the young lads a lift when they needed it in extra time. But you're looking at today's game, and it's one of the ones where you're thinking, you know something, if we are going to win the league this year, it's a place you're going to have to go and get the 3 points in some, you know, in some way or other. You know, you could give a sparkly performance and win. But to me today, it was just about, you know, getting the 3 points. And you just wondered, didn't you, with this being an away game and the, you know, Liverpool not yet, the away support is brilliant. But the vast majority of the supporters there today would be Forest fans. And you just wondered whether it just might have been, a lap too much for them, you know, to carry on and go again and go again and go again. So, you know, when the team did drop, you know, Tom said there, quite rightly so, that he didn't maybe expect any of them to start. I possibly did. I thought maybe Endo would have started. I was surprised that Joe Gomez started again. Not because I don't think he's worth a starting place, but because he played the vast majority of the game at Wembley. He then played in the sixth role and played the full game, you know, in midweek. And I just thought he would have had the rest today. So to see him start again, you know, I thought, well, you know, needs must, as they say.
Yeah, I must admit, when the team dropped at 2 o'clock and I saw it, I had an idea of what the formation was going to be and who was going to be there. But I couldn't make my mind up if Joe was going to play the number six. And I thought, actually, he might play right back with Conor Bradley, potentially on the right of the front three with Harvey in midfield. Because the midfield was where I was most worried. I thought we had enough experience up front. To be fair, like we're talking about it like the team today was full of kids. It wasn't really. It was only Conor Bradley and Bobby Clark, wasn't it? Because I'm not going to class Harvey as a kid, even though he's pretty much the same age, because he's got the experience in the team now. So it was a hell of a lot stronger than the team on Wednesday. But it's still, I didn't have 100% confidence just because we haven't won at Forest for absolutely ages. No, we haven't played them much. But our record there is shocking, going back from like our first game in the Premier League and our performance there last season, which was diabolical. So it was the midfield which worried me the most, Les, because I could see us being overrun. Because they have got decent players, Forest. I know they've got so many players. Some of them, you think, where's he come from? I didn't even know he was there. But like in midfield, they've got Gibbs White, haven't they? I think he's a really good player. And I think if he was at our team, he'd look a really, really good player. So it was important that the lads who came into the team actually started out the game well and tried to nullify the crowd. Because you're right, it is one of those stadiums in this league that if Forest are on top, they can get right behind them. unlike some grounds, they are a passionate fan base. I don't think they're a particularly nice fan base, but they are a fanatical fan base who do get behind the team. So, like I said, I thought that it was important for us to take control of the game early on, and I did think we did that to a point. But Gomez isn't a number six. He tries his best, but I don't really want to see him there again, and I don't think we will now that Endo's back. In regards to the players coming back in the team from injury, I thought we might have seen Szoboszlai or Endo or both start. I just thought the fact that they didn't midweek, and I thought Salah might have been on the bench as well. Obviously, he wasn't. I just thought we were saving them for this game. But I think Jürgen hasn't pulled the wool over anybody's eyes recently. He's obviously telling the truth with these injuries, that they genuinely are. Because I do think he would have started Szoboszlai today if he could have done. So yeah, when the team dropped, it wasn't a team that I thought would struggle, but I thought it would be a tougher game than it potentially could have been.
Yeah, Pete, you know, Ben's right there, isn't he? You know, when you looked at their, you know, they've got, you know, Alanga, Hudson-Odoi, you know, Gibbs-White, and you think, you know, that they are really decent players who can, you know, on the day, they can cause any team problems. And then, you know, Lord Divock was starting as well, so you just hope that there's not going to be a sting in the tail from him. And he basically had the first attempt of the game where he hit a shot from about 25 yards that just went past the post. I think that the Kells had it covered, but it was a decent effort by Divock. And you know, I didn't want to lose my love for Divock by him scoring today and putting the dent in, you know, our title challenge. So I was quite pleased when he went off. So, but Liverpool started the game off, you know, by having most of the possession as you'd expect, but we didn't really create any nearly doors, and they created the first opportunity with Divock.
Yeah, like Ben said, I think they got a corner or a free kick very early on, didn't they, in the first minute for us? But after that, we seemed to settle down, control it, and like you say, I think the possession for the first 20 minutes, I think we had 75% possession. But like you say, we didn't really have like a big cutting edge at the, you know, at the top end of the field, you know, of the pitch. But yeah, Divock probably did his best to try and spoil the party a little bit, and he took that snapshot. But I think, like you say, I think Kells had it covered, although it, you know, the home crowd are up at it after that. But yeah, I think it was just a case, like Ben was saying, it is a very partisan atmosphere at Nottingham Forest, and you just don't want to give them any encouragement at all, the fans, to get behind them. And I think Liverpool's plan, if you want, was to almost play it like an away European tie at times and just keep the ball and keep the fans quiet and stuff. And, you know, I think we had little sporadic chances. I think I seem to remember Bobby Clark having a snapshot. I think Robbo that had a shot that was inadvertently cleared, but it didn't seem controlled at the top end of the pitch. It all seemed to be just a little bit, you know, the last pass wasn't coming off or the shot. But we'll speak about the, you know, the game further on, but in that first period of the game, it just seems to be that we were quite content to keep the possession and, like I say, try and keep the you know, the crowd quiet, really.
Tom, it was one of them where, you know, the front three of Elliot, Gakpo and Diaz, they were all working extremely hard, but there didn't seem to be like a focal point up there, like when you've got a Nunes or a Jota there, or even, you know, a Mo there who can play, you know, right further forward. Because like Lucho kept coming deep, didn't he, to look for the ball. Was working across, Gakpo was dropping deep, and Harvey was drifting as well. So it was like a fluid front three, if you like, but there was no focal point, as Pete said. So when we were trying to build to build our attacks up. There wasn't any real cohesion. I don't know whether you'd agree with that, Tom.
Yeah, I think that was a way. That's a good way of looking for before, Les, about cohesion. I think also as well, all three of them, as you say, dropped to the midfield. But the midfield really, has the Wi-Fi gone off again, Paul?
So as I say, we couldn't really get any cohesion, as I said. So, Ben, we had a few half chances, didn't we? Where there was a, I think Bobby Clark had a shot, just went over the bar. He then had another one that was half blocked, and the ball dropped to Luis Diaz, and they just got a block on it as he was trying to prod it towards goal. And then from a corner, Cody Gakpo took one off Virgil's foot. But they weren't really gilt edge chances, were they, Ben?
No, I'd say that Diaz one was, I'd say that was a gilt edge chance, to be honest. I thought he should have buried that. I know the defender did well. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the Bobby Clark one, there was a chance just before, about a minute or two before he actually got the shot away. And when he hit it, I thought, that's going in there. But it was ultimately about a foot over, wasn't it? But it was good effort. But about a minute or two before, he was in the same position. And he just didn't get his shot off. And whether he actually got a rollicking for that from a teammate, which I'm suspecting he probably did. I think one of the commentators said Jürgen wasn't happy at that point, and maybe it was Jürgen that said, you know, have a bit of confidence, a bit of belief in yourself, because if it was in the under-21s, he probably would have had a go there. But we were creating chances. It was frustrating when Cody took it off Virgil. The chance from the... I think it was a corner, wasn't it? It was certainly a cross, anyway. But I can sort of understand why he went for it. But it's just one of those things about football, isn't it? It's the middle of a penalty area. He might have got the shot, but the shout, but he might not have heard it. And he is a forward, isn't he? But yeah, I think we were creating chances. We were in control of that second half from, I'd say, 10 minutes in. Nottingham Forest didn't really create anything in that first half after that time. So I thought, as Pete said, we were treating it as a bit of a European game. And I think that Jürgen has instilled a maturity into us now where there's just no panic. Like, it doesn't matter who's playing for us, if a kid's coming in or whatnot. Still the same way. Like, there's never any rush. There's no panic. They're all in control. It was just a very, very professional performance in that first half. And it did quiet the crowd down. And I thought we were probably unlucky to go in at half-time 0-0. Because I think if we would have gone in 1-0, I don't think anyone would have argued with it.
Yeah. I think, Pete, though, they had the best chance of the first half, didn't they? When I think it was Alanga probably broke clear.
Offside.
I mean, I thought he was offside. Mm.
He was. But
it was a real good save by Kells anyway. But when when he made the save, the linesman's flag didn't go up. So you'd have been at the sort of behest of, VAR and the drawing of the lines if that would have gone in. Now, I thought it was offside, but, I haven't got great confidence in them reaching the right decision. But that was a really good save by Kells anyway, wasn't it, Pete?
Yeah, and yet, you sometimes think, when your reserve goalie, and I hate to call him that because he's more than that, you just sometimes think you're not going to get the same level that you would get when Alisson's playing. But as he showed at Wembley last week, and even against Luton, Southampton in the cup, and that, when called upon, he's a great shot stopper, and a bit like yourself, you think, oh, it's offside. But I mean, I hark back to last Sunday when I thought when Sterling scored, I didn't even worry about it. And then I saw the replay and it was very, very close. So they might look a mile offside, but when you look at it, when they slow it down and put these lines on.
He was definitely off, Pete.
Yeah. That's what I mean. You know, he probably was, but like Les said, he kept the flag down.
Yeah.
Whether it was because the save was made, whatever, but Kells wasn't to know that. And you just got confidence in the lad. I know you can be critical sometimes. I think I was critical of him for a goal we conceded a couple of weeks ago. I thought he could have done better on the shot. I can't even remember who it was against now. It was a home anyway. But generally, he comes in and there's no great difference. I know Alisson's probably the best in the world at the minute. But I tell you what, this lad's not far behind him. And some of the saves he makes are crucial. You know, like I say, back at that final against Chelsea, he made some fantastic saves and kept us in the game. So you just worry that if it had gone in and the lines had been drawn and that had been given. Because I think as the longer the game, I'm jumping ahead a bit, but I think the longer the game went on, you'd always thought it was just going to be one goal besides it. And you would have thought if Forrest may have got that goal, he'd have shut up shop and made it doubly difficult for us, you know.
Yeah. Tommy, you're back with us now?
Yeah, I'm back. Go on.
Yeah. I was just going to say there, Tommy, it was right what Pete said there, wasn't it? It did look offside, that. But sometimes they're closer than you think they are. And Kells has proved over the past few weeks that he's more than a number two goalkeeper. You know, when he's, you know, we're really fortunate to have him as a backup goalkeeper and a goalkeeper of that quality to come in, you know, for the length of time that he's had to come in and cover for Alisson while he's been out of the team through injury. And he'll be covering him, you know, for another few weeks yet.
I know he's getting better every game as well, as isn't he? Some of the saves he's made in the last couple of weeks has been unbelievable. The save he made against Luton, I think the other week was out of this world. You know, like one-handed save. He's just a brilliant keeper. And as you say, I'm not even worried at all about him in the goal at the moment. I'm like you. I'm not so sure. I know it looked offside, but I wouldn't have been confident with it going to VAR, especially with them morons that we've got, you know, marking the lines. Like, I wouldn't have been confident. So I was made up that he saved it. But also as well, you know, I thought Bobby Clark's effort was a cracking effort. He was a bit unlucky with that, you know, he killed it and it just went over the bar. I don't think you can go mad at somebody for taking a shot and it just going over the bar. That's something, you know, you don't shoot, you don't score, do you? I think he done well. I think overall, as we're coming towards the half time, I think Peter was right. I think it was 75%. We'd had something like about six corners. But like, although we did, as you said before, there was a lack of cohesion between the midfield and the attack. And while the chances we had, we never really had a chance where you go, you know, like where you go, oh, you know, like the keepers had to work really hard, or, you know, like he was sort of bobbles in the box.
Tom, what did you make of the Luis Diaz chance? You know, the one where it sort of bounced to him. Did you think he sort of took a poor first touch, or do you think it was, you know, good defending, or a little bit of both?
I think it was a little bit of both. It pinged off his foot, didn't it, Les? You know, like, he's usually got immaculate control, Lucho. You know, like, you've seen all these videos where the kick of the ball and he kills it on the back of his heel, you know, like, but it comes to him a bit, quicker, I think, and it just got away from him that little bit. And by the time it got away from him, it gave the defender a chance. And also, sometimes you've got to say that if a defender throws himself in front of the ball, we had it the other week, didn't we, with Endon? You know, like, the defender throws himself in front of the ball. Sometimes you've got to say that the defender's done a bit well, but I think Lucio would be a bit disappointed that he never took control of the ball, you know, and finished it. But I think overall, as we reached the end of the first half, I think you felt a little bit of not disappointment, but like, I think we've done all right, but not really spectacular, if you know what I mean. But you'd had a feeling that the big boys would have been coming in on at some time in the second half to change it.
Ben, so he goes in level at half time, and you think to yourself, well, you know, yeah, you'd like to have been ahead, but it's not the worst position to be in. you know, with some of the big guns that we've got on the bench. But then you sort of thinking to yourself, well, I wonder how fit these lads are, you know, with the especially Nunes and Szoboszlai, because, you know, they haven't trained now for, especially Szoboszlai, that I think wants full training session. Endo, you know, I think, you know, I'd only missed, like, I think a few days training after his exertions last week at Wembley and the tackle he got on his ankle. So you were reasonably happy. I mean, you always want to be ahead, but, you know, you were reasonably happy in thinking that we've got, you know, some cards that we can play that might be the difference. But come when the lads come out at the start of the second half, it's the same 11, no changes. And I think it's fair to say that at the start of that second half, Forest started off a little bit better than we did.
Yeah, they did. I actually, at half time, started tidying up just to distract myself. So I was hoovering, so I missed most of their chances. I saw them, but I didn't have the commentary on. But yeah, Forest did start the second half better. And like you, I wasn't too worried. I didn't expect Jürgen to make the change at half time, because the amount of time this season we have in the second half, you can bring lads on at 60 minutes, which we tend to do, and it's not half an hour they have anymore, is it? It's more like 35, 40 minutes, which is pretty much a half of football to, you know, when the opposition's tiring. And I think that was definitely a tactic that Jürgen had in the back of his mind to bring the likes of Szoboszlai and others on. I wasn't really worried about the fitness of Endo. He's just a warrior, isn't he? You could put him into battle with one leg and he'd still be running around like a headless chicken sometimes. I wasn't worried about him. From what he said about the League Cup final last week, he was pretty hurt for most of that game, but you wouldn't have known, would you? He was just absolutely fantastic. So I had no worries about him. And seeing Nunes celebrating that cup final, I thought, put him in a kit now. He looks good, you know, fit enough to play. But it was Szoboszlai that was a bit more of a doubt, because he's been out for a bit longer, hasn't he? But no, I thought Forest did come out in the second half and were the better team. But without looking, I wasn't worried in any way. I did think that Liverpool were calm and collected in the way they played. And again, similar to the first half, just managed to control the tempo of the game and bring the crowd back in line a little bit. So I thought, tactically, again, not for the first time this season, the manager got it spot on. And I'd just like to say that there is no other manager in the world that would have managed the squad the way Jürgen has done over the last four games. We've had four games in 11 days. And just the way he's managed them, it's just unreal. So many other managers would have started out the strongest team and brought them off at half-time or 60 minutes. But the amount of faith that Jürgen gives in these youngsters, and I'm not going to call them second-choice players, because, you know, Joe Gomez would walk into pretty much 99% of the teams in the league. He's just a brilliant manager. Absolutely brilliant.
Pete, so, you know, I think Jürgen noticed that they were on top for the first part of the second half, and after just between 10 and 15 minutes, he then, you know, played his first two cards with Nunes and Endo coming on, and Robbo and Bobby Clark going off. And that's Joe Gomez moved from the number six to go to left back. Endo come on in the six, and Darwin give us a focal point at last up front. So were you quite happy with those changes?
Yeah, I think with Robbo going off, I think he was on the yellow, wasn't he? He'd been booked just a minute before. And I'm not saying that was the reason specifically, but I think one thing with Joe, being in where he started in midfield, there was always the chance that he could move back into the, you know, the back four if need be. So I don't think it was such a big thing to take Robbo off. And like you say, bringing Darwin on, it just gives us a bit more of a focal point up front, where possibly the front three that started just don't have that physical presence, really. He'll throw himself about and make himself a nuisance more than anything else. So, like Ben said, he waited for the hour mark, more or less, Jürgen, to make the first couple of changes. Because, yeah, Forest did start the better in the second half without really crippling us. I think they had little half chances and stuff. And like I say, the more the game went on, you just got the feeling one goal was going to be enough, and you just thought if they get one, they can probably really just, you know, shut the game down by slowing it down and bringing substitutes on and stuff like that. So it was just one of them games that, as I say, the longer it went on, you just wondered where a goal was coming from either side, because there were quite a few chances spurned. And there was some good defending, to be honest. There was a lot of blocks from both sides, defenders blocking shots on target and stuff. So, so the hour mark comes, and as I say, they bring two of the injured players back on, and it gives us a focal point up front with Darwin. And Endo just, like, gives you that stability playing the number six role, where it allows Joe to slot in at left back.
Tom, and just after, not long after the changes made, Cody had a chance when he was played in by Darwin, who basically wanted him to give him the ball back. And he put the ball in the side net when he should have, tried to hit it across the keeper. And then they also had a chance to, when I was watching on the TV, and I don't know whether you sort of felt the same, was, I think it was Alanga again, and he had a chance, and he hit it really well, and he hit it back from where it come from, which is what you're told to do. But, and Kells, I don't think Kells had got there. He was flat-footed, I think. So if it had been on target, you know, it would have been in. And it, thankfully for, and luckily for us, you know, it went past the post. But what did you make of the Cody chance, first of all?
I thought he should have done better there. I think we've had a couple of... He's had a couple of... I love Cody Gakpo. I think he's a great player. I think he's an intelligent footballer, and you know, like, he makes things happen. But I think in the last couple of games, he's made an awful lot of like decisions, not the best. You know, like, he's blasted a few wide when he's had been in good chances. You know, like, and I think he just shows some. Yeah, the thing I always think about him is he's always composed, but the last couple of games he hasn't been composed. And I thought that was terrible, because Nunes was going ballistic, wasn't he? You know, like, he was standing in the middle, and not just him. I think there was somebody a bit further out as well. It might have been Diaz as well. And I think at that situation, you thought, like, oh, you know, you think, is it going to be our day today? You know, like, we're not really... All these balls that we were banging in, we were getting lots of corners. We get much from the corners. And all the balls we banged in were sort of pinging here, there and everywhere. Shots were going to... Hitting people were just going wide. One from Robbo earlier on. And, like, you felt then, and that chance from as I like you, I think had he got that a little bit more, you know, he'd have caught it a little bit cleaner, I think that would have nestled in the bottom corner. I don't think Kelleher would have been able to get that, to be honest. But they start, I think what Liverpool done by making the substitutions, we opened the game up a little bit, and then they started to come out. You know, they started to sort of say, it's us on the break, you know, while with Hudson-Odoi and Gibbs-White and the other fella, Alanga, was going down. And you just felt, you know, like, at that stage, the game was in a balance. You felt it could go either way, really, you know, like, because they started to look for a goal. So, it was a pivotal moment, that, Les.
Yeah, they then sort of, you know, took Lord Divock off, Ben, and put a 1-year on. Now, he'd scored the winning goal in the game last year, and he is a handful. And he did. His physical presence seemed to cause us problems, didn't it? But on the whole, I thought Thibaut handled him really well. Yeah. But he did create problems for us. And then we had another little opportunity when Darwin went down the left and had a shot and it went into the side net. And when you thought maybe if he'd have hit it across the goal, I think Harvey Elliott and I think Lucho were both there, and you'd have thought, you know, that might have been a better option for him. But it, as Tom said, you just tend to think, you know, is it going to be one of those days today? But in theory, you're also thinking to yourself, well, you know, we haven't really worked the keeper that much either. So, you know, 0-0 is probably on the balance of play a fair result at that point.
It was, but I thought... I don't agree. I thought we should have been ahead from 70 minutes on. I thought we had the better chances. I know they had a few, but I thought we had more, and I thought we had better chances. I thought Diaz again, he played well, but his end product was lacking, quite frustratingly. And going back to that Cody chance, I was swearing my head off when he didn't square it back. Or even work the keeper for that. It was when we kept on missing chances like that, you just thought, is it going to be one of those days? And it just had that feel to it. But I think you're right. When the substitutes came on, the game opened up then, and it was a bit more end-to-end, which actually I think suited us. Because I know like Diaz was tired, but I thought Tsimikas actually... did really well when he came on, stretching the game and putting deliveries in. And I think that really helped. But it's a shame with, is it Awani? Is that how you say his name?
Awani.
Yeah. So he's another one of our ex-players, isn't he, that never played for us due to work permit issues. But he does look like a player, and it's a shame that he never got a chance with us, really, because I think he probably, I'm not sure he'd still be at the club, but he definitely would have... had a half decent chance. It was odd to see Origi playing against us. I love him. I won't hear a bad word said about that man. The memories that he's given us, not just in the European Cup final, but against Everton. Absolutely love him, Liverpool legend. But I thought actually when he went off, Forest looked a better team. And Awani looked... more of a goal threat. But Ibu did do well. And there's another example where it just shows you the aura and stature of Virgil. When players are genuinely scared to try and take him on. But no, he looked decent when he came on, and he had a decent chance. But I thought defensively we did well. And shout out to Kelleher. I did have my doubts about him when Alisson got his injury, and he definitely took a few games to find his rhythm. But obviously when Alisson's fit, he'll get back in the team. But Kelleher's been absolutely magnificent. And okay, it was offside, but he still had to make the save in that first half, so fair play to him. But he's definitely back in rhythm now, and he's not an understudy, is he?
No, he isn't, Pete. So with about 10 minutes to go, we then made three more substitutions. Your mate, supposedly, I come on. Also, Costas come on. And young Danzy come on. And off went Harvey Elliott, Gakpo, and Conor Bradley, which meant Joe Gomez then played his third position at the game. When he moved to right back, Costas come on at left back. And Ben was right there. He did add something going forward. He stretched the game. Danzy put himself about, you know, showing his commitment when he clashed with the goalkeeper, got himself a yellow card, also had an appeal for a penalty, which was looked at by VAR, and then they had one at the other end for where when Ibu went down, was through a clash of heads, but, you know, Joe Gomez was accused of pulling the shirt. So what did you make of the substitutions, Pete, and what were your views on the two penalty incidents?
I thought the substitutions probably were at the right time. I mean, the last few occasions Costas has come on, he has given us something going forward. He's had good cameos. Like you say, with Danzy, he's all energy, he's full of full of running. And it wasn't sort of, it wasn't, we weren't sleepwalking into a 0-0 game, but you just thought for us to win the game, we did need something else. We'd already brought Nunes on and Endo, and you just thought you just needed to try something different. And the last couple of games, Harvey Elias has put so much into them. He was dead on his feet at the end of both games and that. So they were good substitutions to make. The non-penalty, the penalty that we were appealing. I don't know what you'd have to do to get a penalty. I mean, you see so much grappling on these corners, and I remember quite a few years ago now that they tried to stamp it out by saying if the referees see anything untoward, you give penalties. And I think the fella from the Whittle, Mike Dean, I think he gave two or three penalties in the same game, and it probably, in hindsight, wasn't the right thing to do. But I don't know. You'd hope that VAR looking at it would say it was a blatant foul, which it was. But as I say, you see so much of it now.
Pete, can you think of any reason how that wasn't given? Because I can't. I saw the replay and I thought that's a penalty, but then I thought they're not going to give it.
I thought exactly the same.
You look at it, you think, well, it's a nailed-on penalty. Mm. But then if the referees don't give it right away, you think, well, the VAR aren't going to ask them to overturn it. But that's what I'm saying. You see it happen so often now in the game, and you just wonder if they're ever going to get round to, trying to stamp it out.
Because... Like, I think the difference between the two, because you could argue they both were, but with our one, he wasn't, I can't remember who it was, but he didn't have both of his arms wrapped around him. It was a Gomez, wasn't it? Whereas that Nottingham Forest defender, he was basically bear-hugging him. And you think, like, how can that not be a foul? And to be honest, like, the co-commentator was like, oh, yeah, there's not that much in it and stuff. And I'm thinking, Christ, there is. Like,
I always say to myself, if that was outside of the penalty box, not even 99 times out of 100, every time that would have been given as a foul.
I don't want to take like my rose tinted glasses off here or say that I am wearing them. But I can't recall many times that our defenders do that, like literally put both the hands around them and grab them. Mm. Like, I know, like, obviously we do our bit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that stupid. But I can't think of a time where somebody's dragged someone to the ground in the penalty area. Whereas it does seem to happen to us all the time. Mm. And we don't ever get a penalty for it. Like, it's just madness.
It happened at Luton, didn't it, Ben?
Yeah.
When they scored. And Virgil actually got rugby tackled to the ground, and that, they looked at that after they'd scored, and it was deemed, a fair challenge, so to speak, or nothing to see there.
You know what really, really annoyed me? About 30 seconds after we should have had the penalty.
Yeah.
Virgil got done.
Yeah.
And I think, blaming hell, like, it was nothing compared to what happened to Dan's. And you're thinking, okay, the referee can give that. And I can't tell you what I was calling the referee at that point. But it's just, yeah.
Yeah. So Tom, did you think that the one we sort of appealed for was more of a penalty than the one that they appealed for? Well, they didn't even really appeal for it, did they? VAR just seemed to look at it after the events. So
it was only a quick look, wasn't it? But I thought, as we said with me and Peter there, if that's anywhere else on the pitch, Les, it's a free kick. So what's the difference? It's in the box. He's got two hands around him and he wrestled him to the floor. Well, I thought Tierney managed something today, which you don't see very often referees do. He managed to upset both sets of fans, and both sets of players. Do you know, like, in the end, and both managers, he surpasses himself every time he referees. He's just You know, like I, you know what, it gets tedious. I even hate it because I'd love to say, well, I do say now and again when a referee does well, that which is not very often, but it gets tedious having to talk about it all the time. But you know, even for the thing that we're going to talk about with the goal, he gave a free stop. He stopped it for a head injury for Canate.
And give us the ball. Yeah.
They go from that week. Well, and we'll talk about that.
I didn't pick up on that though, Tom. Honestly.
I've heard
about it since, but I didn't pick up on it.
And they were going nuts because what we're going to talk about now between the three or four of us come from it.
Just before we do talk about that though, again, Paul Tierney. I mean, Christ, there's crap referees, and then there's Paul Tierney. The incident.
I actually don't think he's as bad, David.
Oh no, he is. Les, he's a stratosphere worse than anyone else. The dive from one of the Forest players. And then he went, and Jürgen was going mad. And as soon as I said it, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet here, I said, he's dived. 100% he's dived. And then Jürgen went mad, didn't he? And I'm surprised Tierney didn't book him, to be honest, because you'd expect that. But, Christ, how we can't see that.
I know. But, Tom, you are right what you said. So, you know, Ibo goes down with the head injury. The penalty incident gets looked at. They're in possession of the ball. And then he decides, in his infinite wisdom, to give us possession back, which absolutely sorted through me. If you see what I thought, why the hell has he done that? And their crowd were going mad. And then that was the sort. And not only that, but the fact that he'd stopped the game through Ibu's head injury, that's where the added time comes from.
Yeah. So him and the goalkeeper as well.
Two of their players got booked in extra time for time wasting.
Yeah,
that's right. And the goalkeeper going down as well for
there was a VAR check as well.
Yeah. So we get possession of the ball and we win a corner. And from that point on, you're thinking, as soon as this goal is taken, you know, the whistle's gonna blow. So you're hoping for, you know, another Virgil run from the corner. And you know, they managed to clear it from the corner and it goes out to McAllister, who puts in a lovely ball in the box. And there's Darwin to head it in. And my first reaction after jumping down round the living room for about 20 seconds is to double check that he's onside. You know, and it's not going to be disallowed. You're not going to be bloody dancing around thinking that we've scored when we haven't. But it was a hell of a moment, both for McAllister and Darwin, wasn't it?
It was a genius ball. It was everything about McAllister. He oozes class. He's just got this ability. He looks up and he sees a ball. He sees a pass and he just plays the pass. It was just brilliant. Simicus done well, you know, with the shots which got brought back to McAllister. But like from McAllister, and then what can you say about Nunes, lad? To just a sublime header. But like you, Les, I was watching it, you know, it was me, Susan, my daughter-in-law, Lara, from America, and our Paul, and the four of us jumped up. Because you're looking at, again, the significance of it. 98,
30.
He was dead at
97:52
when he added it in.
No, it was later than that.
It was later than that.
It was 98:36.
It's basically the time. That's the latest goal that Liverpool have ever scored in the Premier League at 99 minutes.
It's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But you know what? Someone put a picture up of St. John heading the ball in 65, and the similarities with Nunes in the same position, just lobbing it over him. He said, do you know what? You can say what you want. And I'd like to say, first of all, apart from it, the brilliant goal, the celebration, he then goes and kicks the board.
Oh, he's stupid, that.
Do you know what? You're just looking and you're thinking, this man, Kevin said to me, he set phoned me up and he said to me, you know what, Dad? He actually celebrates more than the people in the crowd.
Yeah.
he said he's nuts.
Virgil was pointing to him at people in the crowd celebrating. And he said, look. And he's not so peace. When the ball goes in, are you like me dancing all around the living room and you're thinking, and then you sort of put yourself back a little bit and think, bloody hell, I hope he's onside. And then I seen the replay and think he's definitely on.
Yeah, it's unless it's something that you know for a fact isn't going to be disallowed, i.e. a direct free kick possibly, or like Virgil's goal at Wembley where it was direct from a corner. You start celebrating and then in the back of your mind you think, hang on, they're going to look. It's not the fact that there's a doubt anywhere, but they always look for a reason why not to give a goal, and that's what upsets me about VAR. But yeah, and it was so late in the day as well, and you know, you just thought, what? I think prior to us recording this, I think we mentioned a few games, didn't we, earlier on this season, and like we mentioned the one at Villa when we won the league that year when Mane scored the header, yeah. And it's just a killer. It's a killer for the opposition at the time. But then you can imagine Manchester City fans and Arsenal fans sitting looking on the phones and waiting for the final whistle. And it's just like a dagger to the heart, isn't it? I mean, it's a horrible way to lose a game, but it's a fantastic way to win one. And I think prior to him scoring that, I think Darwin had another good header that the keeper made, a really good save, yeah. Low down.
It wasn't his header, was it? It come off the centre-back. He headed it, right. And it crossed the goal. And then it hit the centre back on his back,
yeah.
And the keeper made a brilliant one-handed save. And yeah. When he saved that, I thought
that was the last chance. To be honest,
yeah, that's it. You know what I mean? So Ben, did you? I know you had to go to the pub after the game for a pint to calm down. But did you? You know, had you put your Hoover away at this point and started watching the game properly and dancing around and celebrating?
Yeah, Henry went away on about 52 minutes, I think it was, Les. And the house was tidy. Well, the kitchen was tidy up until that winter, I think. And I, honest to God, right, I dread to think what influence I'm having on my son for football, because some of my language during the game is just atrocious. Like, but when that winner went in, because like Rach and the kids were in the living room, and they just all came running in when I was screaming my head off and running around the kitchen like a madman. And it's one of them, like, I said to her, I'd love to have, like, a camera on me because I never know what I do. Like,
you really wouldn't.
No.
But no, Tom, Les, I would, because I don't know what I do. I just go mad and just jump up and down. But, yeah, it was just brilliant. And it's just... Liverpool is such a special club. Like, to have not one, but this has happened twice now in a week. to win a cup final in that way, but then I wasn't as nervous after this goal today because I thought there's no way he's offside. But you always have to see that replay just in case. Like, Rach came into the kitchen and went, there's nothing that this... Is there any way this could be this loud? And I was like, no, I don't think so. And then there's that, like, oh, hang on. Just wait for the replay. But I genuinely didn't pick up on the fact Tierney gave us the ball back. I didn't click on until afterwards. But yeah, I mean, you look back to when we last won the league 3 years ago, and there was a few examples in that season. There was Leicester at home when Milner scored a penalty in the last minute to keep our winning run going. There was Lallana at Old Trafford to get us a point, which was more than deserved in that game, and that was quite late. It wasn't the last minute or anything like that. And then there was obviously the Aston Villa game, which was just, we scored two late on, didn't we? Did we get two in after 90 minutes in that game? There was two late goals anyway. But yeah, there's something brewing, isn't there, with Liverpool this season. We all said before Christmas, if we go into January and we're top of the league, then it's on. And I think I even said if we're within touching distance of City when we play them, I think it's on. And to be guaranteed to be ahead of them when we play them at Anfield, which we are now, aren't we? They can't overtake us before that game. That is massive now. Because was it Pete that says, like, you just don't know what that will have, the effect on the other teams. And I think it's true. Like, I think we've been here, haven't we, as Liverpool fans, and we've seen Man United get winners in the last minute, and you think, oh, they're going to do it. It's just destiny. And we've had City when we've been neck and neck with them. That company goal broke me. And how the team put that Barcelona performance on today, I don't know. But again, it just shows the mentality of Jürgen. Like, he's just the best manager. I'm not going to say ever, but the best manager definitely now. So I'm hoping, Les, that City watch that tonight and Man United actually do us a favour for once, because they never do. Like, in the season when we're neck and neck with City, we always, Man United always play City in the running, and they never, ever take points off them.
I think they beat them, didn't they, in the
3-2,
in the game before lockdown.
The year we won it. So it was done by then, Les, anyway. I'm talking when it was neck and neck. The years when we've lost to a point, they've always lost to them at Old Trafford as well. So I'm just hoping that they actually turn up tomorrow, which they won't.
They're scraping by, aren't they, Ben, to be fair, like, as well. You know, like, they're not fluid.
The crap.
If you look at the teams around, you'd say that Arsenal are the more dangerous team, and everyone keeps saying to me, Arsenal will fall away. But Arsenal have got on a run, and you look at momentum is everything in football, and they're on a run at the moment. And I was saying I just say this first.
Yeah,
City is scraping. They're not the fluid side that they've been over the years.
They were midweek.
But overall,
I was just going to say that, you know, I think Arsenal, the run that Arsenal have been on, I don't think they could have handpicked the fixtures better. The same in the first part of last season when he went on the run. Prior to the World Cup, the fixtures couldn't have come out any better for them to get the momentum going.
They've gone to West Ham and won 5
yeah,
million.
That was the one. But they played West Ham at the right time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And that's part of the look at the fixture list. Really, sometimes you can play a team when you think it's a good time to play them, and you can play a team when you think it's not a good time to play them because they're running into a bit of form.
I mean, to be fair, like, the next two fixtures as well, they've got Sheffield United away. They'll win that. That'll be a cricket score. But then they've got Brentford at home. So they've got... Yeah. That's 6 points, that.
I don't know. You know, Brentford are a London side, and they're a funny side, aren't they?
They are, but it's at the Emirates. Even so,
didn't someone who beat them at the Emirates...
West Ham beat them
at the Emirates. It was 2-1 or
3-0, I think. It was something daft.
Well, so, you know, like, and I think playing London's teams as well, and again what you said, Ben, it the pressure, isn't it?
What I was going to say, Tom, is after those two fixtures, they've got City away,
I know, and then they've got Chelsea to be sorted out, and also they've got Tottenham.
Yeah, they've got Tottenham away, but they've got Villa at home as well. So they've got and Brighton away. So, like I've always said, I don't really care about Arsenal. I think they're a good team, but I mean the fixture between Arsenal and City, I'd snap your hand off now for Arsenal to win that.
I wouldn't.
I would, Les, 100%.
If Arsenal win that and they win at the Etihad against the 115ers, that will give them so much confidence to take it the rest of the season.
I think it's raw at that.
I want City to lose as many points as possible, honestly, because they are the threat. Like they've been there, they've done it.
I think the results, I'll take a little bit further. I'll say the results, what I want the results to be at the Etihad will depend on what the result we get next week, if you see what I mean. And then if we win next week, then going into that game, I will then think to myself, right, this is what I want the results of that game to be. But Pete, just coming to you a second, you know, what do you think the significance of this result is? Because going into the 99th minute, you know, it looks as though, you know, we could be actually knocked off not only top place, but we could have ended up in third place on goal difference come, you know, 10 o'clock Monday night. And now, and also then going into the game next Sunday, we could have gone into the game next Sunday, you know, 2 points behind Manchester City, you know, and potentially then giving City the opportunity that if they actually won, they could all of a sudden be 5 points ahead of us. Now, you know, if we win, we create a 4 point gap on them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a couple of the past league games, and you know that we scored 4 at Brentford and 4 against Luton. And every now and then, you just got to get one of these results where you may not play at your best, and you may have injuries, and you may have the opposition who squander chances. You know, to say it, I'm not saying they squandered, but they had a couple of decent chances today for us, and we rode it through. And then, right at the death, we go and win it. And to win a game like that, especially when you're in a title race, it gives you such a boost. Whereas if we'd have come off the park today just drawing, we'd have been just, I mean, we can look forward to tomorrow's game, the Manchester Derby. And, you know, I mean, United have got to go for it. United have fallen some like 6 points behind Tottenham now. And if they've got any aspect of Europe, they've got to start winning games. I can't, hand on heart, I can't see it happening tomorrow. But even if United could take a point tomorrow, that'd be a fantastic weekend for us. I'm like Ben. And Tom said, I think Arsenal will put Sheffield United to the sword, and I don't expect anything different, to be honest. But if United can at least take something out of that game tomorrow, even though I don't expect them to, it just puts a little bit of pressure on City that they've got to get the 3 points really tomorrow. Whereas if we'd have come off the park today with just the points, or even worse, we wouldn't be having such a good conversation on this podcast tonight, would we? We'd be right down in the dumps. And like I said earlier on, to win a game like that in injury time, that's the fantastic way of doing it. And to lose it, it's like a dagger to the heart, isn't it?
Yeah, Pete, I remember in one of the title-winning years that City just pipped us by a point. And I can remember them, I think it was a Sunday afternoon game, and Mike Dean was the referee. And City were away at Bournemouth, and Raheem Sterling scored the winner in about the 97th minute or something, after he gave them a late free kick, and the ball bounced and Sterling shoved it in. And it's like little things like that that sort of give you a little bit of momentum and get you sort of thinking, don't you? You know, that this might be our year, so to speak.
Do you know what, as well, Les? I think if we have a bit of good news this week as well, we've got Sparta later on in the week. I think if we have a bit of good news, like Salah comes back and he's fit, and Bacetic, who's flying at the moment in training and must be very, very close to being added to the squad. Little things like that with Szoboszlai and Nunes and everyone else, it just gives you that lift as well, you know, players coming back. You know, and as you say, all of a sudden, you know, like you're flying again, aren't you? You know, like you're going into the game where we've got four and Jadon Dans as the fifth striker. Yeah. You know, like it makes a big difference, doesn't it, really? As you say, momentum's everything in football.
Yeah, Ben, I think Dans adds something to our options from the bench as well. I think he's a big lad, he's quick, he's got a good touch, and he's come from basically nowhere to sort of, you know, all of a sudden look to be, you know, an important squad member who can, like today, you know, he come in, he had the clash with the goalkeeper, he put himself about, he also played a lovely pass through with the touch from outside the box, and his mere presence in the box, you know, can then, because of his size, especially from set pieces, can then take the eyes of defenders away from other players. So he is an important, you know, he's all of a sudden we've got another card that we can play that we didn't think we had, maybe even, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Les, I'll hold my hands up here. I'd never heard of him 2 weeks ago. I don't really watch the reserve games, the under-23s. So all of these lads is a massive surprise to me. But he looks a top talent. I mean, he's got an eye for goal. Like, and he's, what I'd say about all of these lads coming in, they're all brave. Like, I mean, the challenge he put in the keeper was, I mean, he had every right to go for it, but it was late. But he didn't back out, did he? And for
that's what I mean.
18-year-old to do that, it shows he's got something about him. He's not scared, is he? And I think in hindsight, I think that challenge was actually beneficial to how we won it. At the end, I think the keeper was in two minds whether to come or stick or twist. But again, it was a penalty. He should have won a penalty as well. Like,
yeah.
It was a penalty, and every game he's come on, like his debut when he came on, he did a turn towards the cop, and he put a through ball through, and it was so unlucky that it didn't lead to a goal, and I thought, there's a player there. And then to get two midweek, and he did well in the cup final. He was unlucky then. Like that header, it was any left or right, a yard either side, it was in.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, whether when we've got our five strikers fit, his game time might be limited, and I can imagine it's just a shame that Jürgen's leaving. Not just for that, like, but he's one of those players where I could see him going on loan. Tyler Morton and Carvalho at Hull or something like that, just to get game time. Yeah. But he looks really good, doesn't he? He puts himself about, he gets in positions, he's not scared. You would never, ever guess he was 18. And what I would say is, he's probably been a better player than Cody Gakpo in the games that he's come on, and that's testament to how good he's been.
Tom, I'll start with you on the next one. Who was your player of the match today?
Do you know what? I thought Virgil was brilliant again today, as always. I thought, you know, like, I didn't think there was a great deal of candidates, but I thought McAllister prompted and pushed Liverpool for most of the game, and I thought for the ball, for the winning goal, I thought I'd go with McAllister, Les.
Pete, are you going with?
He was certainly a name in the frame for me, McAllister. Like Tom said, I don't think there was anyone totally outstanding, but I made a man of the match decision earlier on in the season, and it's one I said I don't always agree with. And it was the Newcastle game, and I gave it to Nunes, and I'm going to say the same today because he came on, and not only did he score, he almost scored with the header prior to, well, he was challenging the defender when the keeper made a good save, but he just changes the momentum of the game when you need it most, you know. And the header he did, I know, like Tom said, it was a fantastic cross off Macher, but it was almost behind him, and the way he twisted and then planted it into the corner of the net. So although he was only on the pitch for about 40 minutes, including the extra time, you know, the injury time, I'd give it to Nunes.
Ben, who's getting your vote?
McAllister, I absolutely love him. I messaged my dad after the game and said, I think McAllister's going to win us the league. Because he's just so calm. It wasn't his best game today, don't get me wrong, but every time he got the ball, he was calm. He'd very rarely lose it, and he'd find people in space, and he did it numerous times. And I know Nunes did brilliantly when he came on, but for me, McAllister, just that cross, the time, the composure, everything about it. He's just an absolutely brilliant player, and I feel sorry for Brighton because we have robbed them blind.
Definitely.
Right, okay. So my nomination and honourable mention to McAllister and Nunes as picked by, you know, the other lads. And I'd also like to throw in Kelleher and Van Dijk to give them honorary mentions and honourable mentions as well. But for me today, I'm going to go for Ibu. I thought Ibu was immense today. I thought whatever he needed to do, he did. You know, some of his covering when they broke, I thought was exceptional. And so for me, I'm gonna give it to Ibu today. But I thought McAllister was exceptional today as well. But I'm just gonna give it to Ibu just because of his consistency throughout the over 100 minutes for me. So Pete, as we move on and quickly preview the Sparta game on Thursday, have you had your pen and paper out?
I have. Just to preview, Sparta have got a big derby game tomorrow night. We play Slavia. Sparta are top of the league and Slavia are second. So I don't think they're going to have an easy ride tomorrow night, which might help us. But they're obviously top of their league, so they're a good side. I've gone with Kells in goal. I've made a couple of changes from today, possibly. I've gone Gomez at right back, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk and Kostas at left back. Endo to start with Maka. And I'm not sure if it'll be Elias or Szoboszlai, to be honest. And then I've gone Diaz, Gakpo and Nunes. But there might be a case for Cade Gordon starting as well in place of Diaz. I don't know. But, you know, we're sort of hamstrung, pardon the pun, with the injuries we've got. And I think we've got to go as strong as we can because obviously it's a big game in Europe. We're at the knockout stages now. So I think, I don't think we make too many changes because they seem a decent side, this Prague.
Yeah, Tom, just a question for you. Can you see a case for Adrian starting in goal on Thursday? I'm not saying that that's what I would do. I'm just asking you the question. Just thinking ahead the way they would do it if Alisson was fit. So basically now Kells is now our number one goalkeeper. So going into Europe, you've got a big game against Manchester City coming up on Sunday. You know, probably, you know, the biggest league game so far of the season. So do you want to take a chance with Kells in the Europa League, or do you think there's a chance that Adrian could start? And the second question is, I agree with Pete that I think that Kostas could start at left back instead of Robbo. Do you think there'll be a case where Jürgen could also do what he did on Wednesday night and start with Kwanzaa and then give both Virgil and Ibu half a game each?
He might do that, Les. I'd be surprised if he plays at Adrian against Sparta away. With all the best will in the world, that he could do it to protect them, but you don't want to go there. And I remember my memories of Adrian was being in the game against Atletico Madrid on the night in March when we got knocked out to Champions League 3-2. I'd be gutted if he did, but I could see it if you worried about Kells overplaying games. But I must admit, I'd be a bit nervous about that, to be honest.
What do you reckon, Ben?
I've said this a few times this season. I wouldn't take any of them, like any of the starters. I know the Sparta are a half-decent team, but all I'm thinking about now is the Man City game, and I know that Jürgen will make sure that's not the case for the players, but I don't think it's the worst shout in the world for Adrian to play on Thursday. If anything happened to Kelleher, I'd be devastated. Put it this way, I'd rather Kelleher play against City. So I think Jürgen will probably go stronger than I'd like. And I think Van Dijk will probably play half a game with Ibu, playing the other half with Kwanzaa playing the 90 minutes. But I think there will be quite a few youngsters playing. We are a better team than Sparta. We're a far better team. So the youngsters aren't They're not crap, are they? They can hold their own. They've done it in a cup final, so I think we'll see quite a few of them play.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'll be... It's really difficult one because I can see the importance of the game in one respect where, you know, it's a European trophy that you want to win, so you don't want to go there and sort of give it away. So I can see him going reasonably strong, to be honest. And I don't think the team will be too far away from the one that Pete had wrote down, if I'm honest. So it will be interesting come, you know, maybe 5 o'clock on Thursday night when the team drops to actually see what Jürgen does actually go with. I mean, there is a case, isn't it, to say that, like, supposedly I does need to get maybe at least 65, 70 minutes into his legs before the City game. So there could be a case there that you say, OK, Endo's had the day off today, so we'll go with Szoboszlai instead of McAllister, give McAllister a bit of a rest and go with maybe Szoboszlai and maybe even Harvey or Bobby Clark on the other side. So it is going to be an interesting team selection. Again, it's the same with Nunes, isn't it? Do you leave him for the last half an hour? Or do you think, right, he's had like 25 minutes a day, we can build that up and give him like 65, 70, and then maybe put young Danzy on for him for the last 20. So it is going to be an interesting team selection come Thursday. So again, I'll start with you, Tom. What's your score prediction?
I think we'll get a win, Les. I think it'll be a bit tighter than where I think our fancy was to win 2-1. I did say I think we beat Forest or Scruffy 1-0, and I think it'll, if we come away with a win there, you know, like a 2-1 win, I don't think we'll go there and duff them, because I know they're not as strong as us or what's it called, but you know what, they've took some big scalps over the last couple of years. Sparta Prague, I don't think they're anyone's mugs.
Okay. Pete, what are you going for?
I think it would be a 1-1 draw, to be honest, Les. Like Tom says, they're no slouches, and it depends what this game at the weekend takes out of them, if it takes anything out of them at all. I think it's a big derby game, and it's top of the table clash. So whereas they've got theirs before the first leg, we've got ours in the middle of the two legs, our City game, you know. So I think I'd be pleased at the minute if we come away with a draw to set us up for the second leg at our place.
Ben, what's your thoughts?
I agree with Pete. I think it'll be a score draw, 1-1. I think if we had our full strength team and we weren't playing City on Sunday, I'd back us to go there and get a win. But no, I'm with Pete. I'm going for a draw. As long as it's alive when we come back to Anfield, which I think it will.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go similar to Tom, I think, with something like a 1-0 or a 2-1 victory for Liverpool. I think we'll just scrape it. I think we'll keep it tight at the back. And I think it'll be good to get some extra minutes in the legs of the players who are just coming back as well. And hopefully maybe Salah might be able to be included in the squad, you know, to go on the bench. You know, maybe get him 15, 20 minutes. So, fingers crossed on that one.
Can Pacetic, Les?
Possibly even Pacetic, yeah. Possibly. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens at the press conference on Wednesday. So on that note, we'll end this edition of the Late Flag when Liverpool earned a 1-0 victory away at the City Ground with a 99th-minute Darwin Nunes winner. So, which will keep us top of the league going into the weekend clash against Manchester City. So as you always do, as I end these pods by saying, don't buy the sun, justice for the 97, and you'll never walk alone. Till next time, see you soon.